This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
This talk is about cancer. To begin, let's think about how cancer develops within our bodies. On the one hand, we have the classic genetic view of cancer. And by this idea, what we see is that certain genetic mutations arise in our cells, and those genetic mutations cause those cells to divide faster. Other genetic mutations also arise, and those mutations prevent our cells from dying in the normal way. And so if you have cells that are dividing faster and not dying normally, then what happens is you have an expanding population of cells, which grows into a tumor. And that's the classic genetic view of cancer that you'll see in most textbooks and dominates our ideas about how cancer develops. But on the other hand, there are certain things that are missing from that story. In particular, a cancer is actually much more complicated than that. An aggressive cancer will attract a blood supply. It has to escape our immune system, because our immune system normally controls tumors when they come up and clears them out. And so a successful aggressive cancer has to escape that immune control. Also, cancers often break through physical barriers in our body in order to spread throughout our body. So many complicated things actually have to happen in a cancer tissue that goes beyond just simply thinking a bunch of cells that are dividing rapidly. And so there's a bit of a tension between these two different points of view, a simple genetic view of cell division and a more complicated view of a way in which various cells come together to form a complex new tissue which forms a cancer. In the first part of the talk, I'm going to resolve this tension between these opposing points of view. And by doing that, we'll get a much deeper understanding of what cancer actually is and how to think about it. In the second part of the talk, we'll use our new understanding of cancer to look a bit at our evolutionary history, that is, the evolutionary history of humans, and how we actually evolved over time. And we'll be able to match up evolutionary changes in our history to particular ways in which cancer develops, perhaps uniquely in humans, and get a sense then of unique aspects of human disease. So that's the plan. So with that plan, let's start in the first part of the talk. We're going to try to resolve this tension between genetics and a complex tissue that forms a cancer. And we need to discuss some details. So let's start by thinking about lung cancer. And most commonly in lung cancer, one of the first things that happens is a genetic mutation in a gene called KRAS. And typically, mutations in KRAS are thought to increase cell division, just as we've discussed. And so this is a common event early in cancer, a development of a lung cancer tumor. And in order to study this, there was a recent study I want to tell you about that was done in mice. And what they did is they engineered the mice to have a KRAS mutation in their lung cells. And then they looked at the mice, and what they saw was not much of anything, really. The cells didn't really divide much faster just with KRAS mutation alone. It wasn't sufficient. But, and this is the interesting part, they then looked more carefully at what was really going on by using some new modern technology that allowed them to look at the individual cells. And they saw that, in fact, those cells, which look relatively normal lung cells, were actually starting to change underneath the surface. So we'll come back to that in a second. In order to advance the study, the next thing they did was they added a P53 mutation to those cells. So now they have an engineered mouse that has a KRAS mutation in the lung cells and a P53 mutation in the lung cells. And P53 is the most commonly mutated gene in all of human cancers. And in those lung cells with KRAS and P53 mutation, P53 is usually thought to prevent normal cell death. So now they have mutations that increase cell division, that's the KRAS mutation, and the P53 mutation, which prevents normal cell death. And in fact, the mice did develop aggressive lung cancers. So that fits the classic genetic view. More cell division, less cell death, expanding population of cells makes an aggressive tumor. And the mice often died then from lung cancer. So that all fits the classic genetic story. But as I mentioned, they used some new technology that allowed them to look more closely at the individual cells and what was really going on. And so when they went back and just looked at the original KRAS-only mutation, so no P53, just the first KRAS mutation in the cells, and they looked at the individual cells, what they saw was very interesting. The cells look fairly normal and the tissue looks fairly normal, but the cells are actually starting to express other types of cellular programs. So a lung cell normally expresses lung proteins and makes a lung cell. But once it gets a KRAS mutation, the cells then start to fluctuate a bit, and they start to express a bit of the kinds of proteins that are in gut cells, or they might express some of the proteins that are in kidney cells. And so these cells are starting to wander over the different cellular types. Now, they don't look like kidney cells or gut cells, but they are expressing parts of what kidney cells normally express that are not true in lung cells. So what we have to do is think of the way our bodies normally develop, right? We start life with one cell, and that one cell early in life develops out into 37 trillion cells to make our body. Our body has brain tissue, it's got liver tissue, kidney tissue, muscles. All of those different cellular types emerge from that original one cell that started, from which we start life, when your mother's egg and your father's sperm unite. It's the beginning of your life. And so the normal developmental process causes all of those different cellular and tissue types to arise, and then it locks them in. Once a lung cell appears, it becomes a lung cell and it stays a lung cell. A liver cell stays a liver cell. But with this mutation in KRAS, you're starting to see a release of that locked-in state, and the cells start to express different components. So with just a KRAS mutation, the cells are starting to wander and express a bit of other cellular types, but they still look normal and there's no tumor. Now when you add the P53 mutation, that releases a great deal of cellular plasticity in different kinds of developmental tissues. And in fact, they saw many different cellular programs being expressed, and this seemed to be associated with the development of the tumor that eventually killed the mice. And in particular, there was one cell type among many that appeared as these lung cells started to wander over these different developmental programs. One cell type expressed what is typically part of a trophoblast cell. Trophoblasts are the cells that make placentas in pregnant females. And a placenta is very interesting because it's a rapidly growing tissue that invades and spreads, attracts a blood supply, and avoids the immune response of the mother in order to remain present. And so it's got all of those properties, which are properties which are very common in cancers. So now this lung cell, it's not a trophoblast, but it's expressing part of that trophoblast program and it's present. It's also expressing part of a chondroblast program. Those are cells that make connective tissue, cartilage and other connective tissues. And when a new tissue arises that's a tumor, it needs to have structure, and so it needs to hijack the developmental processes that make connective tissues and structural attributes. And perhaps it gets that from this chondroblast program. And finally, these cells, these particular cells that we're focused on, express part of what's called tubular kidney epithelial cells, kind of kidney cell. And this type of kidney cell is particularly good at reducing the immune response, which is, again, a critical attribute that tumors have to develop, the ability to avoid immune invasion, immune attack. And so we see then that these cells are de-differentiating. They're taking on the developmental plasticity that makes our bodies. Because you think about it, to make our bodies, there has to be tremendous creativity in the way in which our cells and tissues develop and make all the different parts of our bodies. That gets locked in when we're fully grown. And these mutations are releasing that plasticity. And so that's why I say that cancer is normal development spun out of control. So what's interesting about this description I've just given you is that in the normal understanding of cancer, KRAS increases cell division, P53 reduces cell death, mutations in P53 reduce cell death, that causes an expanding population of cells in a tumor. That's the classic genetic view. Now what I'm saying instead is that KRAS and P53 are releasing normal developmental plasticity that was present earlier in life, and that as those developmentally plastic processes are present, it allows the building of a new abnormal tissue, which becomes a cancer and can take on many different functions. And so I like this new model, this new way of looking at things, because it unites incompatible observations in current cancer research. The idea of mutations causing cell division and stopping cell death, in fact, those mutations are releasers of plasticity. So the new model is mutations release, genetics releases plasticity. The plasticity creates new tissues with development spun out of control. And now with development spun out of control, the tissues would be all over the place, creating all sorts of weird things. And so in order to make a cancerous tissue that actually spreads, those cancerous traits have to be stabilized. And so we see secondary genetic mutations that stabilize the cancerous traits. So genetics releases, plasticity creates, and genetics stabilizes. And this is a very powerful new vision of cancer because, again, it unifies many different things that we see that currently are incompatible. And it also gives us a very broad vision of how cancer arises and spreads. Now, this is a new idea, and so there's some studies that support it, but still we have to consider it provisional until we see more data supporting it. So over the next few years, if you keep this in mind, you can keep track of what's going on in the studies of cancer and see how well this idea holds up. But I think it's actually going to hold up quite well, but that's just my personal opinion right now. Now, with that first part of the talk, where we've emphasized cancer as development spun out of control, we can move to the second part of the talk, where we think about our evolutionary history. Now, I mentioned in those lung cancer cells that one of the cellular types that started to get expressed when the mutations released developmental plasticity was the release of trophoblasts that make placenta-like traits. And that placenta-like traits can be important in cancer because they cause aggressive growth and reduction of the immune response. And this has been studied quite extensively. And people understand that hijacking the normal developmental processes involved in placenta formation can be important in forming tumors in other parts of the body. And so we see the role of hijacking a developmental process. Now, the placenta arose in evolution around the time of the origin of mammals. And so with that evolutionary origin of the placenta, came a trait which was advantageous for pregnancy, but also disadvantageous when it became misregulated in making cancers because it allows for very aggressive tissues to arise. So we see how evolutionary events in the history of life that develop for one reason, making a placenta for pregnancy, can be hijacked and create the problems of disease. And so we see this close association then between evolutionary change and the way in which disease develops. Now, if we think about more recent evolutionary events in humans, one of the interesting things about humans is that our brains develop in very different ways from the ways in which brains develop in our ancestors, the apes, right? Chimpanzees, bonobos, orangutans, gorillas. We have a variety of genetic changes which alter the developmental processes by which our brains develop. And people have identified some of the genetic changes which control the way in which human brains develop that differs from the way in which other apes and their brains develop. And it's been suggested that there's an association between some of those genetic changes and some of the unique attributes of human brain cancer. So this would then tie in the notion that evolutionary events that alter a particular lineage, like the lineage of humans, often involve developmental changes, and those developmental changes then potentially can be hijacked in association with disease, in this case, cancer. Now, there's not a lot of very clear evidence to link particular genetic changes that happened in the human lineage to specific attributes of human brain cancer. There's some strong suggestions. So that's ongoing research, and I think that we'll see progress on that idea in the next few years. To give one final example, the way in which human breast tissue develops, particularly, but also the prostate, the ovaries, and other sex-specific characteristics, these differ in humans. Humans develop those particular tissues differently from the way in which they develop in other apes. And once again, then we can think about how the genetic changes in development that have altered how human breast tissue develops and is maintained throughout a human female's life could be associated with particular attributes of human breast cancer. And once again, people have identified some of the genes that are involved that have changed since our ancestors. And there's current research ongoing to try to show how those genes that have changed in our recent evolutionary history may have particular effects on the way in which human cancers develop. And so we can go through basically every attribute of how humans have changed in their developmental processes. And each of those changes potentially can alter the way in which human disease and human cancers develop, because cancer is normal development spun out of control.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.